Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios and presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. So I'm watching ESPN the other morning, and they have a full panel of NFL players. And they're asking the question, what's the best destination for Aaron Rodgers? And somehow they get to talking about the Steelers and why the Steelers would be a good fit. And then they throw it to Tim Hasselbeck, and Tim Hasselbeck says the Steelers wouldn't be a good fit. And then at the end, at the bottom of the screen, it pops up where everybody thinks the best fit for Aaron would be. And under Tim Hasselbeck, it had a Titan logo. And I sat there and I said to myself, I'm like, well, I want to know why Tim thinks the Titans would be a good fit for Aaron, not why Tim thinks the Steelers wouldn't be a good fit. But again, ESPN plays to the national audience, not exactly to me. And I would guess that more people across the country probably do care why Aaron Rodgers isn't a fit for the Steelers than why he would be a fit for the Titans. But lucky for us, Tim Hasselbeck went on the midday show that day, and they asked him, they said, Tim, why did you think Aaron Rodgers would be a good fit for the Titans? And here is what Tim Hasselbeck had to say.
Now, the reason I said Rodgers is this. I don't think Rodgers is going to have choices. Like, where else is Aaron going? And, you know, people are like, oh, Pittsburgh. Like, I don't think he's a fit in Pittsburgh. Look, Russell Wilson's 5 years younger, was there last year and played relatively well for them. Like, Aaron's never been in that offense, and I don't think Aaron's a fit personality-wise or any of that. So I think when the dust settles, like, what is a team that could be a little bit like the Raiders last year where – they missed on the quarterbacks in the draft, right? Because if the Titans don't go quarterback at the very top, like, there's a possibility, like, they don't end up with one. Well, like, would we agree on that?
Yes.
Like, okay. So if that's the case, well, now you're looking for a quarterback. Okay, well, now you are in that realm of, like, all right, well, look, I got to win some games or else we're going to all get fired. So who helps us, you know, maybe win 10 games, 9-10 games. Who can do that? And I think that when you get to that point, you are in the Aaron Rodgers business.
Again, Tim said, I just don't think there's going to be anybody who wants Aaron Rodgers. And the Titans, you're going to have to win some games or Brian Callahan's getting fired. So, strange bedfellows. Aaron, welcome to Tennessee because you're not wanted anywhere else. And then it kind of hit me listening to Tim Hasselbeck say that. Do you realize that Aaron Rodgers' stats this past year for the Jets, coming off of a torn Achilles, were basically identical to the stats he put up in Green Bay the year before he showed up with the Jets? So the stats that Aaron accumulated in Green Bay that led the Jets to give the keys to the castle to Aaron Rodgers are basically the same stats he had last year, and they fired him. Aaron threw for more touchdown passes last year, 28, than 26 in 2022. Aaron threw for less interceptions, 11 to 12. And yet, they still fired him. And then we start looking around saying, well, who would be a good fit for Aaron? Would the Giants be a good fit for Aaron? No. Would the Browns be a good fit for Aaron? No. They're paying Deshaun Watson. They got a problem with Myles Garrett. No. And it's starting to feel to me like Aaron Rodgers is this year's Bill Belichick. It kind of feels to me Aaron can still play. And it kind of feels to me like Aaron's not wanted in the NFL anymore. Because while he can still play, he can't play like he used to. And it is shocking to me how similar the two situations are. Do you really think that Justin Fields is better than Aaron Rodgers? I always say this, and I always put Ian on the spot when I use this, and I feel kind of bad because, you know, knock on wood, Ian, I hope this never happens. But I always talk about, if the cartel had your family, if the cartel had your family captive and you had to win a game with Aaron Rodgers or Justin Fields at quarterback, nobody is picking Justin Fields. Kirk Cousins? Tyrod Taylor? Shedeur Sanders? Better than Aaron Rodgers right now? Does anybody think that? And we all know Aaron was in a terrible organization last year where they never win, no matter who the coach is, no matter who the quarterback is, no matter who the GM is. And by the way, the coach was a bozo and got fired. The GM did get fired. The owner is listening to his son and John Madden football ratings. And again, Aaron still had a similar season to his last year in Green Bay. So the same season that led to the Jets handing their franchise to Aaron is the same season that got him fired. But again, just like Belichick, here's why nobody wants Aaron Rodgers anymore. Because he's a pain in the ass. And in the NFL, you can only be a pain in the ass when you're the absolute best. You can be a pain in the ass when you're the absolute best, or you own the team. Bill Belichick learned that the hard way. When Bill was winning championships, you guys remember that, he was smarter than everybody else. He was tougher than everybody else. He was more disciplined than everyone else. He was a diabolical genius. And because of that genius, Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel, Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, Brian Flores, Josh McDaniels again, and Mike Vrabel all got head coaching jobs because somebody just wanted a taste of that secret sauce. And then Bill started losing. And then Tom went to Tampa and won without Bill. He won with old man Bruce Arians and crazy ass Antonio Brown. And it was kind of like, huh, is Belichick really all that smart? And while I thought Belichick did some really off his rocker stuff, making Matt Patricia the offensive coordinator, signing Cam Newton, etc., do you really think Bill Callahan, who got a job last offseason and Belichick didn't, do you really think Bill Callahan's a better coach? Excuse me, Brian Callahan is a better coach than Bill Belichick? Do you really think Raheem Morris, who beat out Bill for the Falcons job, do you really think he's a better coach than Bill Belichick? Do you think Brian Schottenheimer is a better coach than Bill Belichick? The Atlanta Falcons, who blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl at the hands of Bill, had an owner who lusted for Belichick. But the GM and the president kept him from doing it because they didn't want to deal with Bill's ego. But let me ask the people of Buffalo a question when it comes to Bill Belichick. You think he could scheme up a D that could stop Kansas City? Or do you want to try to run it back for the eighth time in the playoffs against the Chiefs just to see if this time maybe Sean McDermott will figure it out? I look at the musical chairs for quarterbacks, and I think Aaron Rodgers obviously should still be in the NFL. But he's not going to be the quarterback for the Jets or the Giants after the last 2 years in New York, though he probably would be the best option for both teams. He's not going to be the quarterback of the Browns unless he plays for $10 million or the Browns view Aaron Rodgers as the only way to keep Myles Garrett. There are six open jobs. There won't be seven because if Minnesota doesn't go with Sam Darnold, they'll go with J.J. McCarthy. Two quarterbacks will be drafted, and Darnold will take three jobs. There's still three other jobs out there. And yet, here we are, sitting around saying, I don't know if the Raiders would like Aaron Rodgers. I don't know, to the point where Tim Hasselbeck is saying, no, it's going to be the Titans are the best fit because that's the only team that might be desperate enough to go to Aaron because their coach, and again, when it comes to Brinker, who knows, they may get fired if they don't win enough games, so they'll deal with Aaron being a pain in the ass in order to keep their jobs. And I keep going back to Bill. You guys really think there are 32 people on the planet that are better coaches than Bill Belichick? Bill Belichick put it out there when he was up for the Falcons job that he doesn't have to be GM. Now, I'm not sure I necessarily believe that, and I don't think the Falcons believe that either. But if Bill Belichick could just be coach, and Bill hired a real offensive coordinator. You don't think Bill's one of the best 32 guys on the planet? What if the Bengals fired Zach Taylor and hired Bill and gave him the money to keep Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase with Joe Burrow? You don't think Bill would be able to win with Joe Burrow? I do. But again, this is how the league likes it. If you are not the absolute best, the way Aaron was 2 years ago, the way Bill was a decade ago, if you are not the absolute best or you don't own the team the way Jerry Jones does so he'll never get fired, they don't want to deal with you. If you don't go along to get along, they don't want to deal with you. The only reason Brian Callahan kept his job, because he stays out of the way. And I just think that's a terrible way to build a football team. 615-737-1025. So what about Rodgers and the Titans? Again, Tim laid it out there saying, if the Titans don't get Sam Darnold and they don't draft a quarterback, because a lot of people don't think these quarterbacks are very good, then is Rodgers the guy to save their jobs? We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025 The Game.
He had a great year prior to that. The previous 16 games, he was wonderful. And then 16 games. The last couple were terrible. I know what, that's a quarterback the Titans were considering. Is that what you're telling me?
Sure. I mean, it's him, Daniel Jones.
No way.
Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers, that's not impossible, but they're not a team ready to win right this second if they have a good quarterback?
I don't think so. I just don't know if there's any other place for Rodgers.
Don't be shocked if the Jets don't bring him back. I could see that.
That's not a win-now team either.
It isn't, but it's New York. And, you know, they're coming off a horrific year. The division isn't great in New England. Buffalo is, obviously, but New England and Miami. McDaniels, I mean, I would not be, and they bring Adams back, too, if they bring back Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked if Aaron Glenn brought him back. But you're right. I don't know if Rodgers would fit Nashville. Issues about Donald, I would be very hesitant to go out there and give him a long term. He wants to do it for a year or two. It doesn't kill me. Sort of like the deal the Giants made with Jones, where they gave him a couple of years, a lot of money, but they could get out of the contract that they needed to. Same kind of thing here with Donald if I was Nashville.
There you go. That was Doggy on the show. And I got to say this. Dog was talking, this was before the Super Bowl, and on Super Bowl Sunday was when Jay Glazer reported that the Jets were done with Aaron Rodgers. I was actually kind of surprised that the Jets were done with Aaron Rodgers, not because Dog said, you know, he might go back there, but just because there was nobody. Like, who's going to be the Jets quarterback now? So that I don't understand. But again, if Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Titan, and I've heard now there's some discussion that Aaron may go to Prime Video and that maybe, I guess, would he be without Michaels doing the games and he would take Herb Street's job? I don't know. If Aaron were to do that, it would be exactly like Bill going to college, where the NFL told Bill, we don't want you. Aaron Rodgers clearly wants to play. He flew his ass out to New York to try to stay with the Jets because he wants to play. And that takes me to the Titans. Aaron Rodgers is not what Mike Borgonzi would consider, in my opinion, solidifying the quarterback position. Aaron's 41. So solidifying the quarterback position is like solidifying it for 2, 3, 4 years. Again, when he says solidifying the quarterback position, he's talking about what they did in Kansas City. You may think that means Mahomes. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about Alex Smith. Aaron's not 27 years old, which is how old Alex Smith was when they acquired him in Kansas City. In fact, Aaron is Alex Smith's age and was in the same draft class as Alex. But Tim Hasselbeck does bring up a good point. If the Titans don't draft one of these quarterbacks, and it doesn't sound like, again, it's early, but trying to read the tea leaves, it doesn't sound like the Titans are interested in these quarterbacks. If the Titans don't take one of these quarterbacks and they don't get Sam Darnold and he goes to the Raiders, which seems to be the national opinion of where Darnold's going to land, who is better than Aaron Rodgers? And if you're Brian Callahan, you have to win games this year. Some of you are intrigued with the idea of Justin Fields. Justin Fields is 14 and 30 in his career in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Justin Fields. We don't even know if Justin Fields can read a defense. We know Aaron can. You're going to put Daniel Jones out there? You think Daniel Jones is a better option to save your job than Aaron Rodgers? So I do think Aaron is a legitimate possibility. But the real decision maker when it comes to Aaron would have to be Chad Brinker. This would have to be a Chad Brinker, hey, we can do this with Aaron. We can be the Packers. We can be Aaron. We can be the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. We'll draft a quarterback in the fourth round. We'll draft Will Howard out of Ohio State in the fourth round. We'll sit him on the bench behind Aaron. We'll develop him. If he's no good, then we'll go get a quarterback next year. But Aaron Rodgers will be our quarterback, and I trust Aaron Rodgers can do it and can do it professionally without causing problems. And I don't know how Brinker feels about Rodgers. You know, that's the thing. Everybody always connects when somebody's worked with somebody before. They say, oh, Jared Stillman, he must definitely want to work with that guy that he used to be with on the radio in whatever town. But there's a chance that I might actually think that this guy sucks on the radio. That I worked with him, and every day I worked with him was like, oh, God, this guy. You don't know. So when it comes to Brinker's opinion of Aaron, he might love him. He might think he's the patron saint. He also may at the same time think, oh, God, what a pain in the tush. And we don't know the answer to that. But I do think it's fascinating. Here's what I will say. My choice is Sam Darnold. I know TD loves these quarterbacks. I don't like either of them. So I would prefer to draft Abdul Carter, which means I can't get either of these two quarterbacks because they will go within the first 10 picks. I think my second choice would be Aaron. It would just be more fun than Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones is a bridge too. And that's probably where they are. 615-737-1025. Your phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com here on the program. One texter says, Tim said on the midday show that Derek Carr would be better than Aaron Rodgers and that Derek Carr is better right now. That's great. There's one problem. Derek Carr's on a team. And the amount of people out there that are like, well, he could be a cap casualty for the Saints. Number one, the salary cap does not apply to the Saints. We've now done this about 1,800 years in a row, and every time when it comes to the Saints, they're always $85 million, $95 million, however much over the cap this time of the year, and they always find a way out of it. And when it comes to Derek Carr, and again, the caps, the Saints as of right now are $47 million over the cap, which I'm actually a little surprised, Ian. That's kind of light for them.
I guess they'll have to restructure something.
Well, the Saints are usually like $70, $80 million over, so to only be $47 million over, that's... If they were to cut Derek Carr, they would save $1.3 million on the fake cap. So they're going to save $1.3... If you're a cap person, they're going to save $1.3 million when they're... $47 million in the hole? That's not even going to make a dent. And then who's their quarterback going to be? So, no, he's not available. And at least with Stafford, there's like legitimate chatter that Stafford might be out of there. There's no legitimate chatter that Carr is going to be out of there. And not only that, Carr kind of stinks. Like, this is, you're going to say, that's a hot take, Jared. But if you came to me and you said, okay, Derek Carr, who's going to make $40 million bucks this year, Derek Carr at $40 million, or bringing back Ryan Tannehill, who's 2 years older, but took a year off and thus isn't hurt the way that Derek Carr is, for $20 million, I'd bring back Tannehill. In fact, I don't even know where Tannehill would rank on the pecking board, but for me, it'd be Darnold 1, Aaron 2, Daniel Jones 3, and then like Mac Jones for $7 million, Tannehill for $20-25 million. Like, at some point, it's like, yeah, you know what? Tannehill's not that bad of an option.
What do we think the Jets are going to do at quarterback?
I think they're, you think truthfully,
they're, you think they're,
I think they're going to draft? I think they're going to have Tyrod Taylor.
Really?
Quarterback. Yeah. If you remember, he's still on the team, and the owner last year wanted to bench Aaron after 4 games in favor of Tyrod Taylor, which, again, is so stupid.
I wonder if that's more about Rodgers, though, than Tyrod.
It's like this team is like, you know, oh, we're so much better off with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback than we are Aaron Rodgers. Okay. Again, people think Justin Fields is better than Aaron Rodgers, which is ridiculous. One texter says, you bring up Fields' record every time, but Mac Jones has won 3 more games than Fields, and he's one of your top candidates. I just said he's right there with Tannehill. What are you talking about? One of my top candidates. Fields also played at Ohio State, so you know he's played at a high level. Stay consistent in your arguments. Fields sucks. He sucks. And the league knows he sucks. Because nobody wanted to trade for him last year. Pittsburgh gave up a 6th. He went 4-2 as their starter, and then they benched him. Field stinks. Stinks. Again, this idea that Aaron Rodgers is better than Fields is ridiculous. You know, I was listening to people talk about, like, old trades. And this is why we have to be very careful when looking at historical precedents for trades in the NFL. Because Keyshawn Johnson was traded from the Jets to the Buccaneers for 2 first-round draft choices in 2000. And that is a fortune, right? 2 first-round draft picks? But the draft was not as popular then as it is now. And now because the draft is so popular and it's got its own economic system, I mean, the draft is half the year of the NFL. The draft is like the second biggest day of the year outside of the Super Bowl. And so because of that, teams value picks more because their fans care about it more. Well, a lot of you like Justin Fields simply because Justin Fields was good in college. But Justin Fields has never been good in the NFL. He's not better than Aaron Rodgers. But Jared, he played at Ohio State. Whoa. Jameis Winston won a national title, and I'm not interested in him being the quarterback. And he's actually won some games in the league, and I would take him over Fields. Jameis would be fun, but it'd be a train wreck. 615-737-1025 here on the program. We're back to your phones. 615-737-1025. Plus, Lewis Riddick said something about Cam Ward today that, even though I don't really value Lewis Riddick's opinion, I do value this for a specific reason. We'll get to that next, and your phones. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025, 1025 The Game.
Tennessee Titans first pick. I was talking to some folks around the league and trying to canvas just like your opinions, guys who know people in the decision-making process there, and not with direct information, but the same theme kept coming up over and over and over again, which was, this is new. You know, a lot of times we hear new regime accompanied with a new quarterback. But this was the feedback. I was like, look, we're not completely sold slam dunk quarterbacks here in this draft, which has been pretty universal across the board. They're going to have time. They're going to get time to eventually get their quarterback. And with a plethora of needs, like, do you really want to look back and say your first pick you had to replace a year later or 2 years later? Like, let's just park one in the fairway here. Let's just get the best player available, and then they can, you know, hunt for a quarterback in the next couple of years. But they're where they are in their process, that was the feedback. So, boom, I pump in Abdul Carter.
That was Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network's lead draft analyst, saying it sounds like the Titans aren't interested in these quarterbacks. And, again, I am sitting there saying, whoo, gosh, oof. Although I am starting, Ian, I'm starting to come around on Shedeur Sanders.
In what way?
I do think it would be very entertaining for the radio show if Shedeur Sanders were the quarterback of the Titans. Because if Shedeur Sanders were the quarterback of the Titans, one of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to work, and it's going to be the greatest thing ever, and the Titans will be good. Yay! Or it'll be a disaster, and Dion will be tweeting at me because I'll be the one that sits there and blows up, you know, if Shedeur Sanders says something stupid, I'll be the one that makes a big deal about it, and then Dion will get mad about it, and so it'll be a whole thing. So I'm starting to talk myself into the entertainment value of Shedeur, even though I do not think he's very good. Like, I hear what TD's saying. He's an accurate passer. I don't like his size. I don't like his athleticism. And quite frankly, I think he holds on to the ball too long. So, that being said, we'll see. But I did say this about Cam Ward, whose tape I studied deeply. And I did say he's a first-round quarterback. Now, I'm not sure he's a first overall quarterback. And while he's athletic, he's not an elite athlete. And while he's got good arm talent, he doesn't have elite arm talent. And while he's got some decision-making issues, those things, we'll see if he could work in the NFL and fix those and everything else. But I said the meetings would be huge. The meetings would be massive. And I'm talking about the meetings that we're not privy to. You know, at the combine, they'll sit down with Cam Ward, all the decision makers in a room. Cam, tell us about this. Cam, tell us about that. I'm sure they'll have Cam Ward in town on a top 30 visit. Cam, tell us about this. Cam, tell us about that. They'll probably go to Miami and work him out. And they'll probably sit down with him there. Cam, tell us about this. Cam, tell us about that. And I said the meetings would be paramount into me believing that he can be a leader. Well, Lewis Riddick was on ESPN today, and he was talking about Cam Ward. He was asked about Cam Ward. And he threw out this little nugget that even though I don't really like Lewis Riddick's opinions, and when I see Lewis Riddick's name bandied about for GM jobs, I laugh because I think it would be an unmitigated disaster. At the same time, what I will say about Lewis Riddick is he does have the meeting access that we're not able to get because he's called Cam Ward's games. And here's what Lewis had to say today.
I got to talk to this guy now three different times. Got to talk to him at Washington State up there in Pullman. Got to talk to him down in Tampa when they played South Florida this year. We did that game and got to talk to him again before they played Georgia Tech. Ask Mario Cristobal about the kind of leader that this guy is and what he did to Miami football in the offseason from the time he decided to transfer from Washington State to the time they stepped on the football field. He took over this program, they said, like no one he has ever seen. And Mario has played with some great players, some of the greatest of all time at the U. This guy is the ultimate, consummate leader. He plays with a gigantic-sized boulder on his shoulder. It's not a chip. It's a boulder. He is very confident in the work that he has put in, and he should be because he's supremely smart. He is supremely talented, and he's deadly serious about the game. And he feels as though, even at this point in time, people still don't really believe that he's as good as he is. And he can play. He directed that passing attack down there at Miami this year with the kind of precision and the kind of maturity that is worthy of being considered a number one overall pick. It just is. And when he gets to the NFL level, he will be the guy who – what is the first thing that people said about Jaden Daniels when he went to Washington? They were surprised – well, not surprised, that everyone was impressed about the fact that he was there at 5 a.m. every day and he's the last guy to leave. And that's not just for show. It's because that's part of his process. It's the same thing with Cam Ward.
That matters for two reasons. Number one, Cam Ward has a lot to do in the NFL. And I need to know that Cam Ward will be committed and Cam Ward will be ready and willing and able to do those things that he's got to do to improve his game when he gets to the league. And number two, I think this is important because I do think the Titans have a serious leadership problem. They have a locker room problem. They have no real leaders on the team. Post Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and Kevin Byard, the Titans anointed Jeffrey Simmons as the leader of the team. And what did Simmons do? He embarrassed them. He picked fights with the media over the criticism of Jamal Adams. They were right. He went at Buck, who tweeted about him acting like a fool in practice. And Buck was right. He took swings in practice the first day of pads. He declared that no one runs the ball on the Tennessee Titans before they allowed 188 rush yards to the Green Bay Packers. And more recently, he did a podcast and he told everybody who he thinks the team needs to draft. I guess not only does he think he's team leader in defensive tackle, I guess he also thinks he's the GM now too. That's the only leader they have. So when Lewis Riddick, who, again, does the meeting, sits down with the coaches, sits down with Cam, and he goes on TV and says, I've sat down with this young man three times, and I'm telling you, this guy is a number one leader. He is a first guy in the building, last guy out leader. That does mean something to me. And he compared it to Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels did an interview at the Super Bowl. And the way that these guys, they kind of parade around doing all the different, you know, whatevers. And one of these, you know, digital something or another. Ian, I don't know if you saw this. It might have been Caroline's group. But they did something with Jaden Daniels where they took the silhouettes of the quarterbacks. And they asked the quarterbacks to watch just the silhouette. So you can't see any colors. You can't see anything other than, again, the actual silhouette of the guy dropping back to pass and throwing the ball. And Jaden Daniels was the only one that got all 10 or whatever it was, 8 or whatever. And so there's a little silhouette. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's Josh Allen. Ding, ding, ding. He's like, oh, no, 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 that's for sure Kyler. Ding, ding, ding. Baker. Ding, ding, ding. Like, he got them all. And he was like, yeah, I watch a lot of film. I'm like, damn! Like, I watch a lot of football, and I can't do that. Jaden Daniels, oh, that's Dak. Ding, ding, ding. It's like, damn. And so if Cam's work ethic is similar to Jaden's, then that tells me something. Because clearly Jaden Daniels' work ethic is off the charts. Okay, to your phones next. 615-737-1025. And those things in the meetings would matter to me. 615-737-1025. Something that will for sure be a big deal when it comes to Cam Ward is not to me. We'll hit that next as well. Stillman and Company, 1025 The Game.
Stephen A's listening to. He played one half of the bowl game to set the record with the amount of touchdowns. Case Keenum had 156 and he had 157.
You didn't like
and
that?
And then he sat out the second half and they lost. And I don't want to hear it while we wanted to give the other guy a chance to see what we had. That's a bunch of nonsense. If Cam Ward wanted to finish his career and play the game, they would have let him finish the career. So I don't like that because he put statistics over winning the game. That's me. You might disagree. Listen, I think Ward's got a chance. You saw him in the game he lost this year at Georgia Tech.
Yep.
I'm not quite ready to say that this is a no doubt about it, no miss. Think straight. He's going to be the first, second pick in the draft. You're going to win Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
I'm not ready to say that.
That was Mad Dog talking about, hey, Cam Ward checked himself out of the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and I don't like it. And a lot of old hats don't like it. You know, Rick Spielman on his podcast was like, if I was sitting down in the meetings with him, I'd be making a big deal about that. Maybe I'm ignorant. I don't know. I don't care. You know, it's a different era when it comes to the bowl game. The players don't care anymore. The coaches don't care. They don't even stay around to coach the bowl games. I mean, I remember Louisville played Cincinnati 2 years ago, and Scott Satterfield was the head coach at Louisville, and he left to go be the head coach at Cincinnati. And Jeff Brohm had been hired to be the head coach at Louisville. And so Dion Branch and a bunch of GAs are coaching this bowl game at Fenway Park. And I'm watching this game on TV. And during the broadcast, ESPN zooms in with both the coaches from their office while the games are going on. I'm like, what the hell are we doing? So the coaches don't even care about the bowl game. So why would the players care? So the fact that Cam Ward checked himself out of the Pop-Tarts Bowl after he said, you know, I don't care about that. Do not care. Did he throw the touchdown passes? Yep. I also think it's stupid that we count the bowl game stats, or in some cases like Barry Sanders, we don't. I think that's stupid too, but again, I don't really care about that either. So this will come up when it comes to Cam Ward, and I'm not saying like, oh yeah, I want Cam Ward. But what I am saying is that this will come up, you know, in the Cam Ward discussion, that Cam Ward, he quit on his team. He quit on the bowl game. And I just don't. That does not compute with me. Let's go to Ellie, who's up next here. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. Ellie, go ahead.
A couple of things. First thing, if your coach is on the hot seat, the easiest way you could ruin a quarterback is by drafting him and then going to another offense coordinator the next year and making it bad. I mean, this is the year in free agency you could fix your offensive line, your defense, you get a turnover-laden defense with some great pass rushers. And if Cam Ward does remind me a little bit of Steve McNair with some of his evasiveness, his body build, his throwing ability, and I think he needs a year off. But again, if your coach is on the hot seat, this is not the year to draft a quarterback. I would get one in free agency instead.
I don't think they care about Callahan being on the hot seat. I'm not sure how much I care. Thank you, Ellie. I'm not sure how much I care about Callahan being on the hot seat. But I would say that if Callahan does get a say in this, like if they really do care what Callahan thinks, then it probably won't be a quarterback. It sounds to me like the Titans are not interested in drafting a quarterback. TD said it during the TD Power Hour earlier today on the show. He said that he knows three people in the building like Abdul Carter. By the way, I do wonder who those three people are. And I do think it's kind of fascinating that TD's already got hooks in there, that three people in the building like Abdul Carter. So could that be like Denard Wilson or Mike Borgonzi or Chad Brinker? Again, I don't know. Sonny says, my biggest holdup with Sam Darnold is giving up picks for him, specifically the 35th pick. The money doesn't bother me the more I think about it. You know, a buddy of mine whose dad is a very, very successful businessman in town told me that his dad once told him, and again, this is from a business standpoint, if you've got a problem and you can make it go away with money, do it. Again, that's why people sign NDAs. You got a problem, and you can give somebody a, you know, again, this is if you're rich, you can give somebody $250,000 and goodbye and it's done, do it. Well, in the case of Sam Darnold, this is why I have no problem overpaying Sam Darnold. Because if, let's say the Raiders are interested, but they're interested in the Baker Mayfield contract at $33 million a year. And it's like, I can give Sam Darnold $38 million a year, and he'll come to me because of the extra $5 million. Do it. I agree. The money, whatever. If you end up drafting a good quarterback and you sign him, it'll be for way more than that anyways. So I'm not worried about it. When it comes to the draft picks, the way I view this is, would you rather use the 35th pick to get your quarterback? Or would you rather use the first pick to get your quarterback? Your quarterback may not be as good, and you've missed out on Abdul Carter. That's the way I view it. I also do wonder if Minnesota would accept your two fourth-round picks. Your two fourth-round picks have the value of a mid-to-late third-rounder. Again, if they were to let Sam Darnold leave as a free agent and he were to sign, they'd get a third-round pick in next year's draft as a compensatory pick. Perhaps Minnesota would be willing to do that because they don't have a whole lot of picks. So the volume of picks, maybe that helps. Surely they would shoot for 35. But also, like, I think about picks. And I remember this time last year. The Bengals franchise T. Higgins. And I'm not the biggest T. Higgins fan in the world. I think T. Higgins is a very good player. But I also think, like, T. Higgins is a high-end number two receiver. And when T. Higgins goes to a team without Joe Burrow and without Ja'Marr Chase, will he still be as dangerous? Maybe, but I'm not sure. But I believe that the reason that the Bengals tagged T. Higgins was because they wanted to trade him. And they wanted to get a low first-round pick, high second-round pick, in order to make up for T. Higgins so they could try to draft the next T. Higgins and then give Ja'Marr Chase a big contract. But I think most of the teams in the league said, nah, we're good. We don't want to trade the pick for the next T. Higgins to get T. Higgins because we think we can draft the next T. Higgins. But I wonder if the Patriots, who drafted Jalen Polk, who looks like, again, it's 1 year, but looks like a complete and total bust, I wonder if they look at themselves and say, yeah, we could have traded the 34th pick in last year's draft for T. Higgins. Sign T. Higgins to a contract. We tried to sign Calvin Ridley to. Sign Higgins to that contract, and boom, on we go. Young quarterback, T. Higgins. And now it's like they really want T. Higgins, and they really want to pay T. Higgins, but T. Higgins is going to be franchised again. One texter says, if Willie is right and this is an exploratory year for the Titans, You keep saying that they don't care about Callahan's opinion, so maybe they're not concerned about his job either, and maybe they do go with Aaron Rodgers. If they're concerned for his job, Aaron Rodgers would be more likely to be the quarterback than if they're not concerned with his job. If they're not worried about Callahan, they can sign Daniel Jones and then say, oh, yeah, we suck, fire Callahan, move on. If they're worried, like, no, we need to win 9 games to justify Brian Callahan's existence, then you probably are more likely to sign Aaron Rodgers. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The game of the year, especially for us here in Nashville, is tonight. And I'm nervous. And I'm going to make a pick for tonight's game. And we'll do that next. I'm going to company 1025 the game.